Tonight we're talking about the mysteries. So any class you can get in, especially James, you're a new convert, get in the Sunday school class. We're teaching doctrine, simple doctrine in the Sunday school class. Need that class. If you get into that class, get the preaching under your belt that morning, get the night preaching, and then get in the extra class. Why? In 3 years, you'll have the equivalent of a Bible education if you go to a fundamental Bible school. So it's unbelievable. You'll learn more in a local church that has the zeal to win souls, discipleship, teach discipleship and bring people along than you will anyplace else. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the wonderful day you've given us, and for showing up and blessing the word, blessing the preaching, blessing the singing, blessing the fellowship and the sweet time we have with the brethren and those that come in. Bless now these few moments as we look again into the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. I want to talk about the mysteries as we start. I handed out your test. Everybody did a pretty good job on that test. And tonight we're going to talk about those things that we have to be accountable for, or we're supposed to know from the word of God. There's some things that are secretive, if you please, or a mystery, especially to the world. And even after a person gets saved, the only way that you can get a hold of that thing is believe it. And we don't have a lot of faith to believe anything. But when you stay in this book, God gives you faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then your faith grows, your spiritual faith. And I'm not talking about a faith to sit on a pew or a chair to hold you up. I'm talking about a faith that the Holy Spirit of God gives that the world doesn't have. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 22 on, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll find faith is one of those fruits. So there's different kinds of faith. You got to make sure you have the faith of God to believe the things of God, or you'll be struggling. Well, I got faith, but you just can't get it, man. So here tonight, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, I didn't give the handout. I'm sorry. I always have a handout. I'm worried about this and worried about that. James, would you help me, please, sir? Just make sure that everybody that wants one has a handout. I apologize. I'm about a dollar short here, brick short of a load here somewhere. But as you get the syllabus, that's your handout. There are seven mysteries. I don't know how fast we'll be able to go. And the introductory to the class, you can download this for a few bucks. It is by Peter S. Ruckman. A lot of people scuff, kick, snort, spit when you say his name. But he was a very wise man. He had a three-digit IQ. He's a saved man. And before you find fault with him, listen to his testimony. You can pull that up online and listen to it. And you'll have a whole new aspect about the man. And I'm not selling the man tonight. I don't have to. He's dead and in glory. I'm more interested in this. But he just compiled it, put it together. He was also an artist and has been quite an inspiration to many men across the country, those that believe the King James Bible. His thing was taking a stand on the Word of God. But that little book called The Seven Mysteries by Peter S. Ruckman, you can download it. You can put it on your iPad, your computer, your phone. And that's the book we'll be studying. Every class will probably have a book orientated of some kind, and I'll try to mention that. So our verse, excuse me, I'm struggling here with dryness of throat. I was up there trying to sing earlier. Glad I wasn't preaching too. Wow. He says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When you look at that, he's talking about being accountable and responsible for some things. And he goes on and says, moreover, second verse, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I just jotted that down on the board. We're going to talk about the first one, God manifest in the flesh, or i.e. the virgin birth of Christ. That thing's a mystery. There's people out there in the world, there's religious people out there in the world that don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Now, you know, when I say religion, I'm not just talking about Baptists, the people that we kind of have in our community. I'm not talking about so much the Baptists, the Methodists. I'm talking about all the other sects of religion. I'm talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Mormons. I'm talking about everybody that doesn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten of the Father. There's a whole world of people out there that do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Tonight, with those that verse on our heart, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries. Number one, a steward is someone that is in care of something valuable for his master. And we learn that principle and that concept in Genesis chapter 15. Early in the scriptures, we look at people that work for somebody else. You have a responsibility to that person. And that person, that's the lay person, we might say here, is a steward for the things of that man. In the scripture where we mention in Genesis chapter 15, Eliezer was Abraham's servant. And that's all Eliezer was. He was a servant to Abraham, but he was a very faithful servant. And he's a picture of what a faithful servant ought to be, even in the New Testament or in the time. For the Old Testament, as far as learning and our admonition, we're taught by the Apostle Paul that Eliezer was Abraham's servant and in charge of all of his house. That's what the scripture says. This man entrusted him with everything in his house. He was a faithful man, taking care of all the things in his master's house, things that were not his, but responsible for it like it was his. Now, if we're going to be the stewards of God's mysteries, we have some responsibilities to the Lord that entrusted us with just what you heard tonight, the gospel. And that's the rudiments of our responsibility, telling others about Christ. And then you take the next step into discipleship, then there's some things that we need to know about God and about the Word of God that we might be a greater help to those that we might lead to the Lord. A lot of times we lead them to the Lord and they fall through the cracks. We never get them again. Thank God they get saved. That's just one more soul that doesn't go to hell. But I have a burden to see people come to know Christ. That thief on the cross didn't get a chance to go to Bible school. I mean, he just got to paradise. He was saved, though as by fire, I like to say by the skin of his teeth. And that's a pretty rough way to live your life, get saved, and then a deathbed repentance is a rough way to go, man. I think Billy Sunday said deathbed repentance is like burning the candle at both ends and blowing the smoke in the face of God. That's a rough one. Now, he said that. I didn't say that. I wouldn't say anything like that. And so it is with the stewards of God. We are given responsibilities to teach and handle the things of God, if here, the mysteries. And there's something always mysterious, and people say, well, I don't know too much about that. I'm saved, and I'm this, and I want, and they want to take a position, they want to do this, they want to do that, but they don't want to know of the things of God. And that's the first thing Paul talks about. Every preacher, deacon, teacher, evangelist, missionary is responsible for knowing these mysteries and teaching them in the church and in their lives. Notice, this has not been the case in most every church in America. Pastors do not teach the Word of God. They're too busy entertaining folks. They're not teaching. They're not ministering. There's no broken heart. They're not going to put the study in. They're not going to labor. We're supposed as ministers to be given to the Word of God in prayer. They're going to do everything but that. And then their congregation and their people are going to pay for it. And when those folks get out of that church, because something will happen and they'll leave, and they come to your church, they want to be a part and think they're going to fit right in, and all of a sudden they're faced with somebody that teaches the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, and they don't know what, well, that ain't how we did it down there. Hey, the world ain't doing it that way. Most churches aren't doing it that way, so you'll find that. There are, and let me say this, and I'm not beating up on TV evangelists or any of that, but a lot of those folks don't teach any doctrine. It's all feel-good stuff. It's glitter, shiny, and they don't live in the real world. What you heard tonight about a man going out, or anybody, but here in this case, pastor, went out and won somebody to the Lord, you don't get much of that on PTL or any of them other places because they're not doing that. They're doing everything but that. So therefore, they're shallow. They don't know much of the Word of God. possibly maybe not even the mysteries, I don't know, but every preacher, deacon, teacher, evangelist, missionary, every person that's saved is responsible for knowing these mysteries. It's not only for the men of God. The men of God ought to know them, the pastor and the deacons, the leaders, the teachers, and teaching them in the church and in their lives. So there are a number of mysteries found in the Word of God, and it would be good to understand and know all the mysteries in the Word of God. The mysteries that we should concern ourselves and what we'll concern ourselves with are the mysteries of the church. Now, I realize that there's mysteries that apply to the body of Christ, and they're found in the Pauline epistles. And when I say Pauline epistles, it's the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, not discrediting any of the other epistles or any of the other books in the Bible, but Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The church is a Gentile body tonight. It's not Jewish anymore. That thing changed in the book of Acts when the Jews rejected Christ. And now we're into a Gentile setting late in the church age. So we are the folks that are responsible to handle the gospel, the word of God. And that's why I believe God still blesses America, because the church, this America sent more Bibles, more missionaries, built more churches than anybody else on the face of the earth. So I submit this. If pastors from the beginning would have had been busy in their pulpits teaching the Word of God and the things of the Word of God, and here the in-depth things, so this is kind of an in-depth class, because we're going to talk about the mysteries, the things that mystify folks. We're going to talk about those things. But if pastors have been responsible to do that, America's churches wouldn't be in the mess and the shape they're in today. Hence, America wouldn't be in the mess that it's in today. And I believe pastors let down there. They don't teach. They don't preach. I was so glad. Pastor went to the same church I went to, and Jack Grigsby was our teacher. He was a teacher just like we're teaching, just like you see us do. We learned that from that man, who was diligent and willing to get in the foxhole with you one-on-one and bring you along till you understood or till you could see and comprehend the Word of God. And that doesn't happen in the average church. So that's what's going on here. So not many seeking after righteousness today. I've got a point there in number two there in our first set of things. How could a man be faithful in keeping them if he doesn't know them? Well, he can't be. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A lot of folks today don't want anything like that. They don't, why do I have to know about the mysteries? Why do I have to know more about the Word of God? Because that's what the Christian life is about, that you might be better prepared to help somebody else. The focus is on something else. You got the focus tonight. Our business is winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, some have a gift to win others. Some have a gift to teach. Some have a gift to do many different things. But here, we've got many gifts that can work in this church for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we want to teach, and not many folks today are seeking after righteousness. They're seeking their own thing. So the mystery of God manifested in the flesh, I jotted it down up here, and it's about the virgin birth of Christ, and that thing is a mystery. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness is a cognitive. It means to be godlike. And a lot of folks today don't care to be godlike. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him. You're going to be like him one of these days, and we're admonished in this life to live a godly life. So here, that scripture, God was manifested in the flesh. You say, I don't understand that. That's why it's a mystery. Justified in the Spirit, then seen of angels. He was acknowledged before the shepherds in the field by the angels of the Lord, Luke 2. And preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You say, what is that? That's the mystery of God manifested in the flesh. You say, I just can't get that thing. Yeah, the world can't get it either, but the child of God ought to be able to believe it, because he'll have the measure of faith that the Holy Spirit gives him. And he said, you know what? That's a supernatural God right there. Yeah. But the world will say, Why would I believe that? I can't see. We talked about it in Sunday school class this morning. Look, note, just about every other translation, and I checked them. I went and looked at them. They alter this verse of Scripture. I couldn't believe it. I have in my program, my computer, different translations, and I looked at them, and that's why I love the King James Bible. I believe it is the Word of God, inerrant, without apology to anyone, and it states the true, unadulterated truth, and you're going to go further with the truth than any other translation, but every other translation changes this verse in some way, and you may find that strange, but religion, education, denominations, and all liars don't want you to know about the mystery. I think I spelled liars wrong. They all take a swipe at the deity of Christ. And what that is, Christ born of a virgin, and that's Mary, and it was prophesied. And I think all those prophecies come to fulfillment, and he was born. And his name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. And he was. And his given name was Jesus. And there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but that name of Jesus. And so it's a great thing, the mystery of God manifested in flesh. It's about the incarnation. The word incarnation means in the form of man or like man. And the Scripture says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't have sinful flesh. In the likeness, you can trust your Bible when it tells you that. It's teaching you something. He came. You say, why did he come to earth? That he might be a near kinsman. The whole book of Ruth and Boaz is all about of that kinsman redeemer. And you go read that story. It's a love story. And that woman was a Gentile, but she was allowed to come in. The church is Gentile, and it comes in. And brother, it is married, if you please. And we're called the bride of Christ. I mean, it's remarkable. But he had to be born of a woman that he might be a near kinsman to you and I, so that he could die for you and me. Because if he wasn't related to us and he died for us, it wouldn't count. But he did die. You say, what is that? That's a mystery. That's the mystery of God manifested in the flesh. Oliver B. Green said, he's very much God and very much man. Yeah. You say, well, I can't get a hold of that. I told you it was a mystery. But once you trust him and you believe him, he gives you that assurance that believe in him. Just believe me. Just trust me. Just believe me. And he gives you another notch and another step for the glory of God. So here, the verse says, God was manifest in the flesh. Some of the other versions, they'll take that away. And they won't, I didn't quote them all. I didn't want to waste my time, your time with it. But the Scripture says God was manifested in the flesh. That means God showed up as a baby. You say, wait a minute. Yeah, he was born of a virgin Mary. And you read the story in Luke chapter 2. And it's kind of interesting, like any other baby. He increased, the Bible says, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. You say, what was he doing? He was identifying with you and I. And you know that writer of the book of Hebrews says, and we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings and our infirmities, what was tempted in all points like as we. He went through everything we go through. Through childbirth, through growing up, through learning, yet without sin. Now you had sin, but now you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's identified with you. He's part of you. He's very much human and very much God. You say, I don't understand that. That's why it's called the mystery of godliness. God, Christ manifested. And some of this stuff, you're just going to have to believe it because you ain't going to figure it out. Now, man's been trying to figure it out, but he can't figure it out. That means here, you can't understand that, but God was a baby like you and I were babies once. It's hard to believe, isn't it? He cried. So you think he was happy all the time? No, I think he caused his mom and dad to worry there when he didn't come back. You say, where was he? He was in the temple, and he was about 13 years old, and he was questioning and talking to the doctors and the lawyers there in the temple, and he could, you know, you're talking about the creator of God, and about 13 years old, a kid gets pretty smart about 13. You ever notice that? If you've had any kids, God help you, when they turn 16, they know everything. But at 13, they start growing a brain. They'll tell on you, man. I remember Todd, my son, he's about 50 now. He's about 13. He wanted to get out on his own. He said, Jesus did. I said, son, you ain't Jesus. Get back to the house. Todd, he'd test those limits, I'm telling you. He's doing good now, though. So you can't understand that thing. This will mess with the understanding of men. Men can't wrap their brains about it. The professors of the world can't wrap their brains around it. They can't get it. They can't understand it. And they won't believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You say, you couldn't get a hold of that thing if your life depended on it. You can't figure that out. You say, what is it? It's a mystery. But you need to know about this thing. Somebody says, you believe that? I believe that. You're crazy. You're foolish. Yeah, I know. And my foolishness is wiser than your wisdom. Amen and amen. That's what he's saying. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. You can't explain how the Holy Spirit works with the heart of a man. But you know he does. And when you go in and give them the gospel, and God ordained man to take the gospel, as we heard tonight in the message, and then the Holy Spirit moves in and begins to work on that heart and work on that heart, and you stand back in utter amazement, almost in the way, because the Holy Spirit of God is doing a work, and you can see it in those people because they tear up and they cry, or they get happy, or they laugh, and they say, I've never seen that before. I want that. You say, what is that? Well, that's another mystery, and we'll talk about that one a little later. But right now, we're talking about the incarnation of Christ. Very much God, very much man. But he says it's the foolishness of preaching that saved those that would. We are fools for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians 4:10 and also 1 Corinthians 3:18. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. He said, what is that? That's no play on words. That's speaking the truth, because the things that we believe as believers confound the wise people of the world. They think we're nuts. But according to this book, we're right and they're crazy. Amen. Second thought, second page. Man don't believe it. It's a mystery to them. So they keep trying to make a man. I like this. Test tube babies, cloning, artificial insemination, DNA transplanting. And there's probably a few more things out there today that man keeps trying to do. You remember Dolly the sheep? Where are they going with that? They're going to try to make a man. And boy, that's the educated part of the world. They can't handle the fact that God came as a child, and they discredit the deity of God, the deity of Christ, and they don't believe what we believe. And in their wisdom, they become fools. Note, God can make man four ways. Now, I got this out of a little book. I thought it was neat. I'll give it to you tonight. He made man out of just clay. Over there in Genesis, he scraped up some of that red clay and made Adam. And then he made woman out of a man without a woman. He just took a rib out of Adam. Say, you believe that stuff? Yeah, I believe that. Wow. Said, then he can make a man out of a man and a woman together. That's the natural birth. And that's, he gave that to the human race to repopulate the earth. And you see that every day. But God ordained that. God put that thing together. And God allowed that thing to work. And doctors today look at that birth of a child, natural birth of somebody having a child, as a miracle from God. Yeah. How's that thing work? And then he can make a man out of a woman without a man. Say, how'd that happen? Virgin birth of Christ. He didn't need no man. Say, what? She was with seed by the Holy Ghost of God. That's a spiritual thing that brought a physical thing. You say, God can't do that. Oh, yeah, he can. He spoke the whole world into existence, and that's a physical thing. A spiritual being, God is a spirit, and must be worshipped in spirit and truth, spoke and put this whole universe and that whole world and put all them stars out there and all them constellations and then named all the stars and numbered all the stars, and nobody knows the numbers and nobody knows the names. Oh, yeah, God can do it. We serve, I said this morning, a living God, a great God. So, man, scientists haven't made the first man yet. And you've got all your TV shows and all your junk, and I don't watch too much of it. I'm kind of prone to sci-fi. I don't know, you know, something out of this world. You'd have never thought, would you? And watch the Clone Wars, Star Wars, the Clone Wars. Say, where'd all that stuff come? Man trying to make something out of nothing, man. And got all these, I better quit, move on here. So if man ever makes a man, if he ever pulls it off, I mean, amen, God just had clay to work with, amen? He's still got three to go. And people, the educated world say, man, this Bible's behind time. No, this Bible has outrun man. Man's trying to catch up with his Bible. God make man four different ways and maybe more than that if you get to looking a little harder. But man ain't even made a man yet. So he got. If he ever does, he's got three more to go. Say, what are you talking about? The virgin birth of Christ. It's hard to catch up with this Bible. The Bible says, where is the wise? Point number four. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he has. The things that God does, the things that God has done, the things that God writes, makes the world and its educated hordes look foolish. It's amazing. He says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You get that? The wiser man gets, the more they reject God. They just get why. It pleased God by the foolish preach to save them that would believe. And brother, they think if you get up and preach like Pastor did this morning, like Pastor did tonight, or like any one of the other preachers get up and preach, the world thinks you're nuts, man. They think you're crazy. You say, why? They just can't get it. So here, you know what men did to get around God. They used wisdom. For the world by wisdom, you got to look at that, get that. By wisdom knew not God. So the more educated you get without God, the more God rejected you get, if I'm understanding this Bible right. Say, well, I'll just go get me an education. I'll get a PhD and I'll get all. Look, what did Dr. Bob Jones Sr. say? Salvation, education without salvation is damnation. Yeah. And he was an educator of Christian men. You know how men are today. So you take when Jesus was born, and I think I copied this, I pasted it. In Greece, they were a bunch of philosophers, and they were called lovers of wisdom. That's what a philosophy means, lover of wisdom. That's what it means. You know that they what they did, they used wisdom to get away from God, and the Lord looked down there, and he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll confound your wisdom. I'll bring it to nothing. And they said, how are you going to do that? And he said, I'm going to let a woman have a baby without a man being involved, and that baby is going to be the one that made the universe. Now explain it to me. You couldn't explain it if you stayed up all night. That's a quote. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the simple virgin birth of Christ. But it's not so simple, is it? You say, how do you get that thing? Well, number one, you got to get saved to get that one. Matter of fact, you got to be saved to get any of these. So could I submit it to you tonight? A lot of these people that are out there running around that don't get any of this stuff might not even be saved. Oh, there's churches all across this land full of people that are lost and don't know Christ. nor the Word of God. So a mystery is something that's, so whether you explain it or not, a mystery is something you're supposed to believe. That's the first mystery. Say, well, you didn't do a very good job at explaining. There's some mysteries you just can't explain, but you'll have to accept them on the grounds of faith. And that's the faith from the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit said, that's right, brother, you can believe that thing. That's the truth. And I think that's why people get out for Christmas and they want to hear the Christmas story and they want to see the play. And boy, you get a good play together and you got the baby in the crib and you get something centered around that thing, man, you'll pack this place out. You say, why? People want to hear about it. They want to know about it. So you realize that if every preacher in America had been faithful in keeping this mystery and preserving the mysteries, you wouldn't have one liberal in one pulpit in the United States of America. But they've let that thing go. They just don't believe it anymore. Somebody was unfaithful. Somebody was entrusted with something, and you didn't keep it. We've been entrusted with this, so we're to teach this, and we're to keep teaching it. Paul said this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's our job. We get this thing, we love this thing, we embrace this thing, and then you teach this thing to somebody else. And you say, what do they do with it? They grow with it, and they go with it, and they want to tell somebody else. There wouldn't be one liberal alive in the United States if every preacher had been faithful in the trust of the first mystery, the virgin birth, God manifested in the flesh. That's one of the mysteries tonight. The virgin birth is a mystery. Some religions, they're false, but they still accept the virgin birth. Say, what? Just can't do nothing with it, man. That's if they're going to keep the Bible. Now, the religions that don't use the Bible and use the Quran, some of these other translations, these other books and things, they don't believe it anyway. So, but they're religious. Amen. So that's the first mystery. Now, I'm not going to try to talk about it anymore because we're out of time, and it's been a great day, I think. Good offering today. God's just been good all the way through. Everybody's pretty... seemed like a good day to me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. It seemed good to me. So any question on that mystery? And there's plenty of other verses, and I just put it out there. You can study a little bit on it. And if anybody had, Pastor, do you have anything I could have left? Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's John 1:14. Wonderful. Yeah, right. Yep. That's the one of the mysteries, and everybody's supposed to know something about that. And so, all right, if that's it, we'll pray and be dismissed tonight. And everybody good? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for a chance to teach your word. Thank you for this book, and thank you for folks coming out to hear. Bless our week for us. Give us safety as we go home, as we travel. Help us to be a good witness and try to tell someone else about thee. Then help us to get ourselves grounded in the Word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.